Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Weekend preview is here. We have a lot of action, including FA Cup, Copa del Rey, Bundesliga, Serie A action. But we begin with MLS 2021. We have exclusive clips with Chicharito, Joseph Martinez, Pato, Phil Neville, so much more. Jimmy Conrad joins the show. Weekend preview, MLS special, and much more begins right now. Hey, Que Golazo listeners, March Madness and the Masters may be over, but the sports calendar never sleeps. The NHL trade deadline, daily NBA, NHL, and MLB action, the RBC Heritage Tournament, NFL draft news and rumors, UEFA quarterfinals, and your home to stay in the know for all of it, CBS Sports HQ. CBS Sports HQ is the only sports news streaming service that's completely free. How to watch CBS Sports HQ? Easy. It's available for free on your computer, your mobile device, or your connected TV via the CBS Sports apps. Or if you're more of a YouTube person, subscribe to CBS Sports HQ on YouTube for all the latest sports news videos on demand. But personally, I never, ever miss a big story in sports because I turn it on the first thing in the morning and leave it on all day while I'm working. I do get work done, don't worry. And I'll leave you with this. If you're a sports news junkie just like me, no sports network is faster with breaking news than CBS Sports HQ. What's up, everybody? Que golazo, our weekend preview. And this is a mammoth of an episode because guess what? Yes, we have FA Cup. Yes, we have Copa del Rey. Yes, we have Europe. But Major League Soccer is back, baby. And this is our special MLS preview. We have everything else for you, but MLS takes center stage today. We have exclusive clips from players and managers. And of course, I need to do this with a former Defender of the Year, one of the most important players MLS has ever seen.
Oh, who's coming on? Who are we talking about?
No, but jokes aside, when you think about MLS, at least when I do, I think of Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy Conrad, a tremendous career, San Jose Earthquakes, of course, but so much more. And just, you know, it really catapulted you into the national stage as well. So to me, it's a big deal that you're here to talk about MLS. I know that you're excited. Jimmy Conrad, Major League Soccer is here. Well, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm excited. I just think that the league continues to grow and evolve in a positive way. We have 27 teams. It feels like a lot. That's a lot of teams to break down and get into, but it also is just a wonderful opportunity for these clubs and their particular markets. You brought Austin FC, you know, coming into the league for the first time. Their head coach, Josh Wolf, was my former roommate with the national team and at the club level with Kansas City. So obviously pulling for him. His top assistant was Davey Arno, who I used to sit next to in the locker room. So there's all these storylines that are very personal to me, but overall, I'm just excited to have the league going in a meaningful way.
Absolutely. So excited to kick off. And by the way, everybody, if you're listening or watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, we're also on Spotify. Make sure that you check us out on Spotify right there. Every single episode, this one, of course. So make sure that you visit Spotify and listen to us right there. All right, let's get going, everybody. Jimmy Conrad, MLS, as you mentioned, introducing Austin FC, of course, but there's so many more storylines to this one. Before I ask your opinion on your favorites and we give some thoughts on, you know, what we could look ahead, I wanted to remind everybody and tell everybody that this episode, we have a lot of really good interviews that I did in the last 2 weeks with some key personnel in the league, and we have them all here for you. So starting off, Jimmy, with Javier Hernandez and the LA Galaxy. I'm the Greg Vanney, somebody that you know very well too, of course. We'll talk about that in a second. But Chicharito, we sat down with him. He talked a lot about us, about this season, how he feels. I want you to listen to this clip and then we'll talk about it. Check it out.
I'm in a very balanced and great spot to start the season, obviously. In all the aspects in my life, emotionally, mentally, and physically, obviously, I've been preparing myself so much, so hard for this season. So yeah, I'm good. And I know when I'm saying this, people think that I'm going to be promised and everything is going to be great. I mean, I know about sports and I've never been scared to say how I feel, how I see myself. And then hopefully I can just show that day by day and game by game, obviously, no? That's what we want. But of course, we all know that this is a team sport and we all need to do our best like we are doing it right now and we're preparing so well. So yeah, the future looks brighter for us.
That was Javier Hernandez, Mexico's all-time scorer. And in the interview, of course, he admits his year was not good, right? But he's ready to press the restart button under Greg Vanney, who he thinks very highly of. Jimmy, what do you make of it? LA Galaxy under Vanney and of course, Chicharito, you know, ultimately starting once again.
Well, I'd like to say there's a couple things, actually, I'd like to say. Greg Vanney was somebody that I looked up to when I was coming up. He was a defender for the Galaxy. I was at UCLA. He's a UCLA guy. Never played with him in college. Always looked up to him as somebody that I wanted to kind of emulate his career in a lot of different ways. We got to finally play together on the national team after playing against each other in MLS for many years. And then when he retired and started to get into the coaching ranks, I did 4 years at San Jose and 8 years at Kansas City. So I have a soft spot for both of those clubs. And I always think they're going to win every single weekend, just to get that out of the way. And then I went to Chivas USA. Rest in peace to Chivas USA. And that was a team at the end of my career that was still trying to figure out who they were going to be. And Jorge Vergara, the rest in peace to him, the owner of Chivas Guadalajara and Chivas USA at the time, was on the precipice of whether to sell the team or not. Anyway, fast forward to Greg Vanney. He was the assistant. Robin Fraser was the head coach, and that was his first head coaching deal. It was a big moment for Greg as well. So I got to see kind of behind the scenes, and I retired that season due to concussions midway through. So I ultimately became like an extension of the coaching staff for the back half of the season, just to kind of continue to get my contract and all that other fun stuff we don't need to get into. But it was a really good eye-opening experience. I learned a lot about how they see the game. And Greg Vanney took all that experience and went up to Toronto and absolutely dominated with one of the best teams in MLS history when they almost won the treble. They lost in the CONCACAF Champions League final, unfortunately. And he what I love about Greg is that he knows how he wants his teams to play, and he makes it very clear what everybody's role and responsibilities are. And it doesn't get lost throughout the season. So I've played many years, and you have a coach that is like that. But then a couple months in, when things aren't going well, things start to get gray. Wait, what are we supposed to be doing again? How are we supposed to be playing? Because the coach starts tinkering because his job's on the line, right? It's all these little things. Greg Vanney never deters from his plan and how a team should play. And you always stick to that. And I think Chicharito will benefit from that in particular. He knows to get the most out of Chicharito, they got to get him service in the box. He needs to be in and around the box. He's most dangerous when he's around the six. Obviously, people are going to give you as a poacher. I don't care if he's a poacher or not. You need somebody that knows how to score goals, and Chicharito is one of the best at doing that. He just needs some good service, and he needs to be able to find the ball a little bit deeper than he was last year when he was starved of service. That's one, when he did play. And then secondly, that he maybe just needs a partner. And I just think that Greg Vanney, who used to play for the Galaxy, was a great hire for them. You know, they were a little up and down and not finding their way. And obviously went through the Zlatan Ibrahimovic experiment that I don't know if you guys think that failed or not. It was fun for us as a neutral, but if you're a Galaxy fan, I don't know if that was the best experiment of all time. And now they're just trying to find their way again. So I have high hopes for the Galaxy right now on William Hill for them to win it all is plus 2,500.
That's not a terrible bet.
I mean, if you're going to just throw $10 down, you could win $250 if they end up winning MLS Cup. So I think the Galaxy are going to get better as the season goes along. I can't say that for every MLS club, but they're going to be in there with a shot. And I know that Greg, and I think for me, when I look at the Galaxy over the last few seasons, huge defensive liabilities, you know, and I thought, okay, cool. They gave up a ton of goals. Was it two seasons ago? they made no changes to their back line. Like, what's happening at the front office? Do they not see how many goals they've given up, you know, the last couple seasons, and they didn't make any changes? You just assume this back four is going to get better. Maybe they tightened it up maybe a smidge, but so there are a couple things that I think that Greg Vanney will address them in a lot of different ways. And I think they will be competitive. 2,500 is pretty, they're what maybe when I look at this on William Hill, they're like the 12th favorite, 13th favorite, like middle of the pack. But
I mean, that's not bad. That's not bad. And listen, I'm not going to add too much here because I think you said it perfectly. And Chicharito, actually, Jimmy, it's weird. I feel like you were there with the interview because he said many things of what you just said. One of the things that he said about Vanney was like, he cares about you as a player and as a human being, and he wants to allow you to play to your strengths, like just be free to what you do. And if Chicharito's best asset is really being inside the box and understanding movement as a team enters the final third, is really going to benefit him. And he wanted to say, he ended it with this: we need to bring back LA Galaxy to the team that everybody knows, the most successful club in MLS history with most MLS Cups. And that's right. What he wants. And with Greg Vanney, as you mentioned, 2017, and also CONCACAF Manager of the Year, you know, maybe he can do that. Anyway, we have way more clips here. I wanted to now talk about a recent champion and a recent introduction to MLS, Atlanta United. Atlanta United, obviously, Tata Martino, it didn't work well with Frank De Boer. And now Gabriel Heinze, a really good manager. We will see what happens here. But we talked to Joseph Martinez, obviously recuperating from a knee injury that, you know, didn't let him play for the majority of last season. So we talked to him. It's in Spanish, right? But I'll be able to translate for you after this. I'll do a Kate Abdo style translation after this. But check it out. Listen to what Joseph said about specifically how hard his season was. ¿Cuál fue la parte más difícil para ti, tú crees?
El día a día. Mucha gente, bueno, tengo muchos compañeros que sufrió la misma lesión, no es fácil, no solamente una lesión de rodilla, no, cualquier lesión no es fácil para una persona que nunca había tenido tanto tiempo lejos del campo. Me habían dicho que era difícil, pero no sabía qué tan difícil era. Cuando tú lo vives personalmente, ahí ves lo difícil que es, y el día a día para mí creo que fue lo más duro, y sigue siendo lo más duro porque eso es como una montaña rusa. Un día estás bien, otro día estás mal, un día estás bien, o dos días estás bien, después vuelve a caer. Pero le doy mucha gracias a Dios por darme la posibilidad de bueno, estar nuevamente aquí con salud, tener un grupo excelente de cuerpo médico que estuvo conmigo desde el primer día hasta hoy. Y bueno, obviamente a mi familia, al club que me apoyaron desde un minuto.
That was Joseph Martinez there, Jimmy, basically talking about, you know, I asked him what the hardest thing for him was in terms of recuperating and not being able to play. And he said, honestly, the day-to-day, just like, you know, not really being able to be on the pitch. And sometimes it was a good day, you felt better. Sometimes it was a bad day. It was kind of like a roller coaster. So you could see in the interview, and you can hear it when you listen, even if you don't speak Spanish, that he's feeling good, but it took a lot out of him. A lot out of him. And I'm wondering.
I can understand, though. He had Frank De Boer as his coach, Luis. And we know that Frank De Boer.
And a pandemic to go with it.
I mean, he's just getting punched all over the place with an injury. Frank De Boer, who's a train wreck as a coach, and the pandemic. I mean, yeah, that's like the perfect storm of crap.
Well, let's talk about it now. Gabriel Heinze, Atlanta United, they were champions in their second year. Obviously, Tata Martino created all that. Miguel Almirón helped a lot, but they are a good team. And Gabriel Heinze is a very good manager. Says that he's entering a new league. It's not like anything else. So I'm wondering what you think about Atlanta United's chances and Joseph Martinez once he gets 100%.
Yeah, so them not having Joseph Martinez last year obviously was incredibly detrimental to their success going forward. He demands a lot of respect because he's earned it. The guy just scores. He loves to score. He'll put his body on the line, whatever it takes to hit the back of the net. You can sense a hunger in him that I don't see in a lot of other strikers. Like that guy, if he doesn't score or get a good, he's pissed, you know, and it'll carry over and he's going to do whatever he can. He'll, you know, bite, scratch. Well, okay. Maybe he won't go to Luis Suarez. Sorry, I didn't mean to go there, but he'll do whatever it takes. I think you guys are picking up what I'm putting down. I like them. Obviously they're infinitely more dangerous when Joseph Martinez is on the field. when the leaders of your team don't buy into the coach, that just trickles down. And the leaders and the and because of Tata Martino and the players that recruited, are the Spanish speakers are the ones that lead that team. That's it. And their success and failure is dependent on those players. And if those players don't at some point buy into what the coach is saying, it's going to have that trickle down effect. I've seen it when I was captain of teams, you're trying to hold it together and you can sense that some players like coach is kind of a clown. I don't really like what's happening here. And at that point, you're just trying to hold it all together to get, you know, through games and hopefully you get some wins along the way. So, and De Boer didn't really do anything to help build those relationships and try to nurture that, like Tata Martino was excellent at, then I could see why there was some stuff. I think Atlanta United are going to be very good. Gabriel Heinze is a disciple of Marcelo Bielsa. So I think you are going to see a lot of elements of that, which also are going to have elements of Tata Martino as well. Yeah. So there's a lot that I think Atlanta should be happy about it from a fan base standpoint. And I think for the players' perspective, there's going to be a lot of familiarity with Heinze's ability the tactics are going to feel probably very similar. So now it's just a matter of executing. They've got the players to do it. They've got one of the best strikers in Major League Soccer history, not just right now, but in Major League Soccer history up front. And if he stays healthy, they always have a chance.
Absolutely. And by the way, I welcome anytime our friend Michael Parkhurst, who I'm friends with on social. So if he ever wants to add anything to this, more than happy to do it. All right, we're going to keep going on here. Because we also chatted to another club, talking about identity, talking about representing the Latin American culture and MLS and everything. Well, we talked to Phil Neville, entering the league for the very first time with Inter Miami. Let me just say something, because I don't think it's the clip here, but his Spanish is very good. Okay, so that you just need to know that right now. But we talked to Phil about what he wants out of this job and how he sees the present and future of Inter Miami. Check it out.
Do you know when people talk to me about Miami, the first thing people in England, maybe in Europe, or my friends in Europe talk to me about is you think about the sun, the South Beach, the party side of Miami. And I've got to say, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about Miami is the great sporting teams that we have in this region. You think about the Miami Heat, you think about the Miami Dolphins, legendary people, franchises that win, franchises that got great history. And I think what the challenge is for this franchise into Miami is that we want to be in this city talked about like Miami Heat and Miami Dolphins, and we want Inter Miami to be even better and bigger and more successful with a great history. So I think that is the challenge, is when people talk to me about Miami, yes, it's one of the best places in the world to live. I think that's a brilliant attraction for players to get players down here. But ultimately, the ambition of the owners is that they want to be successful and they want to have success on and off the pitch.
Well, that was Phil Neville right there, Jimmy Conrad. And I got to be honest, Jimmy, I did a lot of interviews for this series, and Phil Neville was the one that impressed me the most. He, naturally so, like, he's an experienced guy, but, mm-hmm. To come into this league, he's not saying that he's owning Miami already. He wants to represent what the city is about when it comes to its sporting franchises. And it'll be interesting to see how he does. What do you think? What do you think about this?
I don't know, Luis. I mean, anytime a foreign coach comes in with, making statements of, and I respect where he came from, and it felt very genuine how he was speaking. And so I'm excited for him because he's excited, right? Sometimes I'll leave some former managers nameless. They come in and they can't be bothered, like, oh, wow. Oh, wait, these rules are different. And I don't understand this. And why can't things go the way that I want? I can't sign whoever I want, whenever I want, And so
he did not give any of that.
No, he didn't.
He speaks Spanish and his tan was looking good. He's already got the money.
He is, for me, he'd be a poster boy for what a gringo looks like. But I feel like I'm one too, but he definitely epitomizes more of the British gringo-ness. But yeah. I'm excited that he's got enthusiasm for it. I'm excited that he sees this as a challenge and a continued step in his career at the coaching level. And I know there was a lot of discourse when he got hired that it was only because it was Beckham's friend, that they didn't do their due diligence and interview more people, and that might be true. But I don't know. I guess there's a part of me that if you're an owner, shouldn't you be able to hire whoever the hell you want?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think they should do a proper interview process, but if you're putting gajillion dollars in and you like, I want that guy, it's like signing a player. If I want that guy, why are you going to tell me that I can't have that person, but
yeah. And by the way, in the full interview, he discussed, I asked him, I take it that Beckham conversation was like just 20, you know, a minute long. And he's like, well, listen, like the Beckham thing was one part, but the actual part that I really needed to impress was Jorge Mas and co. That was really the one where I really right. had to convince them why I was good for this. It wasn't like they were sold on it or anything like that. So that's one part of it. But what he said made me feel, because my biggest problem about this, and I'm rooting for Inter Miami because I love the city, is they need to make sure that they represent literally what we were just talking about, Atlanta United, the culture of the city. And Diego Alonso came close, but he had a few issues. And obviously the pandemic doesn't help. But no. It'll be interesting to see how he does it.
I was so excited about Diego Alonso's hire. And I was so sad that he just left unceremoniously.
Yeah. Because tremendous pedigree in Liga MX.
I wanted to see him have more time. And maybe when time passes, we'll get to know more about that story. But I have a ton of respect, and I'm a fan of Diego Alonso. So when it didn't really work out, I don't know. The pandemic, I think you're right, probably hurt him in some capacity. But I feel like there's more to that story. And then, I don't know, that's kind of the off-the-field stuff. Focusing on the on-the-field stuff, Phil Neville needs to get the most out of Blaise Matuidi. That's my big thing. Like, Blaise Matuidi came over from Juve and didn't really seem – I like Blaise Matuidi. They need to somehow figure out a way to get him engaged ultimately. And
Rodolfo Pizarro to an extent, I think.
Yeah, Pizarro as well. And Higuain, you know,
Kieran Gibbs now, Ryan Shawcross. So it's a deeper squad.
It is a deeper squad. And they just need to, I don't know. The pandemic throws a wrench into everything. But your big money guys have to show up, you know, and so when I look at Higuain and Pizarro and Matuidi and now Shawcross, you know, and even Phil Neville, like the guy, I think he's under more scrutiny because maybe he bypassed a lot of areas and jumped over a few hurdles that maybe other people would have had to go through to get the job. I think he's under more scrutiny. And if he's not up for the task, then he should rightfully be fired as unceremoniously as Diego Alonso.
Well, I tell you what, it begins with a game at home against LA Galaxy. So we'll know very soon how they do. And by the way, we'll talk about other fixtures, but Atlanta United faces Orlando City. And that's where we go next here, Jimmy Conrad, because we also talked to Pato. Talk about, you know, Kaká, obviously the very first designated player for Orlando City. And now comes another Brazilian, a very good Orlando City team, by the way. And Pato discusses about his decision to come here. Check it out. The same feeling you had when you went to AC Milan, your first experience in Europe, this is the same feeling you get again coming to Orlando.
You know, when you need to work hard, no? And so I can forget everything on my around. When I go to the training, you know, when you're happy, when you feel like, wow, go there, enjoy, you know, work hard, enjoy your work. You know, God gave me this talent, so I need to enjoy. So this time I feel the same. But I want to put in my name in the history here in Orlando in MLS. So I will try and I will do my best with my teammates.
That was Pato there discussing about how it was his decision to come here. He feels rejuvenated, similar to when he left Brazil to go to AC Milan. Of course, he's a lot older, a lot more experienced, but honestly, he's just raring to go, which obviously is not that surprising, but he does look, you know, in preseason, he's been looking good. And Orlando City is a very good team. Oscar Pareja is a very good manager. Pedro Galese, Nani, etc. This is a good team. What do you make of it? Pato's arrival to Orlando City, Jimmy Conrad.
Well, if Pato can play close to his potential, yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit. And I guess I'm really curious as to Daryl Dike and his situation. Is Barnsley going to buy him? Is another Premier League team or championship team going to come buy him? Because if good he point. Comes back and has got Pato to partner with and Nani underneath and Mauricio Pereira, who I think is one of the best attacking players in all of MLS. He's so good. Then I like Orlando. Oscar Pereja is one of my favorite coaches in the league. I think that he took over a bit of a dumpster fire at Orlando and brought some calmness to it and gave them some structure. and put players in good spots, and now is getting the most out of this team. And they seem to love playing for him. And I can't speak highly enough about Oscar Perea. Oscar, I used to play against Oscar Perea, which makes me feel really old, Luis. But, you know, then you got Joao Moutinho as well, another player that's going to help them a ton.
It's a very good team.
they have options, you know. Like, when we look at some of the best teams around the world, the ones that are the best are because they can beat you in so many different ways. And I think Orlando's there. And when everybody's healthy and if Daryl Dike comes back, there's a belief in Orlando that didn't exist before. And they're building off of something that was very special. One of the best playoff games I've ever seen of all time last season. But they probably just need to get off to a good start, you know? And I'm very curious to see how Pato does. I'm excited to, when he signed, I'm like, Pato's alive. He's alive, everybody. I didn't know where he went, you know? And so he's reemerged, at least here for the North American landscape. And I'm excited to see how he does. Obviously, Kaká had a good stint with Orlando City. And I know there's a big Brazilian contingent in Orlando, and he's another Brazilian that has a chance to redeem his career in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And from one introduction, finally, to, I mean, Austin FC are in MLS. Pretty amazing. And wow, they're facing LAFC on Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be quite a test, quite an introduction. But amazing. Claudio Reyna, of course, the sporting director over there, George Wolf, manager. But we talked, we had a little bit of a soundbite here from Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
All right. President, and also, by the way, in charge of the culture of the team. And he talked a lot about what he's, attempting to do as Austin FC. Amazing. It's just amazing that they're in MLS. Listen to Matthew McConaughey right here.
Here we go. We're a week out. We've been talking about this. We've been building this brick by brick. We've been, getting our support person by person through the city. We understand it's Verde, it's Lisa's, but now it's live. Ooh. I just got some chills saying that. It is live now. I'm now starting to get looser, actually. I know we're coming up on game day. I'm not getting tighter. I'm getting looser because I'm having an exhale. A moment of, okay, we did it. Now we come to the table to eat. Now we get on the pitch and we play. Let's go. Let's go learn. We know what we're striving for. We know it's a 100-year war. We know that we're not going to have an undefeated season. we know that. We know these things. So how do we build? How do we learn? Now the fun starts. Now we play. Because we've been doing a lot of work. Now it's time to play.
All right. Oh, you need a ride, man? Okay. Matthew McConaughey, part of MLS ownership. And, he's talking about how, one, excited and stuff, but also listening and paying attention to the dynamics of the whole setup of the franchise. What do you make of Austin FC? I mean, we're looking at videos of hundreds, even thousands maybe, of fans rooting for them in training. They're just so excited for the arrival of Austin FC as they face LAFC this weekend. It'll be away from home for that one. But what do you make of Austin FC for this season?
Well, before I get into that matchup against LAFC, and that's a tough, tough team to draw
this season.
I think that Austin have the benefit of no expectations. They're an expansion team. They have nothing to lose. I think maybe the expectations are, we probably won't make the playoffs. But if we do, how awesome would that be? So I think they get to kind of coast in a little bit. And as long as they play in a way that you can see improvement, that there's an identity being formed and that they are competitive, then I think head coach Josh Wolf, who used to be my roommate with the national team and at the club level with Kansas City.
Man, you really are old.
Yeah, I am old. he's...
So am I. Don't worry. I'm right behind.
He was the assistant for Greg Berhalter at Columbus and joined him with the national team for a little while. And Wolfie knows his things. He knows he's got the chops is what I want to say. And he's very thoughtful in terms of how he sees the game. And we get into some great conversations about tactics all the time.
Well, they have a good squad, right?
Sorry, they do have a good squad. No. They got Matt Beisler, who played at Kansas City for a long time, just like I did. And he was a rookie when I was captain of the team. It was pretty cool to see how much, not to say influence that I had, but just to see how he grew and evolved, as a center back. And now very similar to my career. You know, he got kind of dumped at the end by KC after a long career, and now he's going to a team that's kind of trying to form an identity like I did with Chivas USA, and I'm hopeful that he'll have a better run at Austin than I did there at with Chivas. But they got a good team. They got Nick Lima, who's got some national team camps right back, and Tarbell, who also played at the Earthquakes with the Columbus Crew last year and helped them in the playoffs. Fagundes, very good young player from New England Revolution for many
Alex
years.
Alex Ring from NYCFC. That's a
Alex
good
Ring,
one.
Alex Ring, that's a great pickup. So they have all these guys, and they got some good results in preseason. And Danny Hosen up top, who played for the Quakes, so I've got to see when he's on. He's very, very good. So I like their team a lot. They got Pochettino, Dominguez, and Redes.
Yes, Pochettino from Talleres as well. Yeah, it's very
good. They got a squad. They got a squad. And I think I'm just curious, with any expansion team, and we've said this before, and I think it's apt to say it again, that famous Mike Tyson quote, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And this Austin FC just hasn't been punched in the face yet because they haven't had the opportunity. And I think LAFC, unfortunately, now to get to this game, will most likely punch them in the face. And Carlos Vela's back. You know, Diego Rossi's, I think, the odds-on favorite to be the leading goal scorer in MLS this year. Carlos Vela, though, when he's on, arguably the best player in the league by some stretch, though Joseph Martinez probably wants to be in that conversation as well. Alejandro Pozuelo in Toronto could probably be in that as well. But if Carlos Vela's feeling it, yeah, the guy's unstoppable. And that's going to be a really big test for Austin FC, is to try to keep him quiet and also have to pay attention to Diego Rossi and Corey Baird, who they just picked up, and all the other players that they got in their team. They've got one of the best midfields in the league, LAFC, with Atuesta and Blessing and Mark Anthony Kay. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough test for them. But if they can just have a good account of themselves, then I think that will bode well for the rest of the season. And I'm excited to get out to Austin to see their new stadium once it opens officially. My mom just moved there, so got some family ties to that. My sister's out there, and so
man, I'm staying over. I can't wait.
Come hang out. So I'm very excited to potentially take K Golasso Pod on the road for an Austin baby game. I'm just throwing that out there, at least to the producer. So go get some of that budget if we have any budget. And yeah, it's going to be a great season. And it seems the fans are way in, and I love that. I love the buy-in and the excitement and the culture they're trying to create off the field as well. So lots of good things. And then I should say something about Claudio Reyna, one of my other teammates on the national team, you know, being in charge. The guy had a ton of experience doing the same exact thing with New York City FC, but now in a market that's probably a little bit more manageable to get things done, because having been there in New York City, having lived there 5 years myself and having talks with Claudio during his time with the club, it's just impossible to get anything done, man. They have to share stuff with Yankee Stadium. They're trying to find this field space, and there's so much politics in New York, not surprisingly. And I just think Austin's a little bit easier of a market to probably get a lot more things done and to actually build something of consequence. No disrespect to NYCFC. It's just harder when you don't have a lot of space to do the things you want to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I talked to Claudia a few times as well back when I was with SI, and it's exactly that. But, you know, it's very exciting for Austin FC, and you would think, you know, all of us wish that the pandemic wasn't around, because this is the type of situation when you wish like the entire stadium was packed. And, you know, when Atlanta United entered and it was like 70,000 in their opening game, you know, that's the kind of thing that we want to hopefully get back very soon. But it's still very exciting times ahead for Austin FC and MLS. Well, we're nearing to the end of the first half of this episode. We told you it was a big one because MLS takes over. So, Jimmy, I just wanted some final points from you. Is there anybody that you think, you know what, they look very good on winning the whole thing? Is there anybody that you wanted to highlight as we wrap this one up?
Well, LAFC are the favorites to win outright MLS Cup plus 400. You can get some good value there. The reigning champions, Columbus Crew, are second favorites at plus 500. Toronto FC, who just took down Lyon. I just said it like the French team. Lyon.
I think you did it right.
Okay. They excellent win, by the way, over a very red hot Liga MA Keys team in the CONCACAF Champions League. They're plus 500. Sounders are also plus 500, who, you know, they've won multiple trophies over the last 5 years. They're going to be without Jordan Morris, so something to take into consideration for the whole season, the Seattle Sounders. Unfortunately, he tore his knee when he was with Swansea on loan. So yeah, it's tough. I think what's interesting is that there's only been six teams that have played in the last six MLS Cups. Okay. And two of those clubs, Portland Timbers and Atlanta United, are going for big odds. And in the Timbers, they won the MLS's back tournament if you guys remember that.
The bubble tournament.
Then right after that, they lost Sebastian Blanco and I think Yaroslav Nizgoda to ACL tears before the regular season ended. And they still finished in third. So there's something there. If everybody can get fired at all cylinders and Diego Valeri can continue to be the ageless wonder, who, what a tremendous player Diego Valeri is, the captain of the
Clippers. Ridiculous.
And then you got Blanco, who wears the number 10 shirt, and Nizgoda up top, who, if they're healthy, man, the Timbers, you can't sleep on it. Plus 2,500 for them. And they've been to, you know, MLS
Gio
Cup.
Savarese is a very good manager. He gets he gets like, I don't know, gold out of a rock sometimes. Gets the best out of everything. And I'm also looking, by the way, at DC United. Just, you know, I'm wondering what it's going to be like with Hernan Lozada. Obviously, I have a soft spot for them because of Edison Flores, but it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, LAFC clearly the favorite. It's going to wait and see. That's an interesting stat.
Well, that makes me feel any better. DC United are the last for William Hill.
Oh, +10,000. Put a gamble on making them the playoffs. You never know.
That's true. Portland Timbers +1,200 to win it outright. I honestly think, and I saw this online, you can get better odds for all these teams if you just wait a month or two. Like Seattle Sounders are famous for being absolutely crap until about 4 months left to go. And then they just turn it on and win every single game. And
the summer arrives and they're like, crazy. All right, let's get to business. Yeah.
Nico Ladero just like, all right, I'm going to take over now and be the guy. And they end up winning or getting to MLS Cup. So I think you could maybe wait a month or so and see how odds are playing and then maybe make your guess, or at least maybe even wait till the first weekend to get a better idea as you kind of see, all right, that team's got the sauce, you know, but I am looking at the Timbers as kind of an outside shot at +1,200, just in terms of odds. And then Atlanta United, I wouldn't sleep on those guys. When Joseph Martinez is in the team, and now with Gabriel Heinze, who's going to have, as we mentioned before, tactics that are going to be, I think, more advantageous for the players on his squad, +1,600. I don't know. That's worth a flyer, I think.
Absolutely. Hey, never sleep on Matias Almeida as well. And,
you know, Quakes, baby.
I'm surprised you didn't mention it. But anyway.
Well, they're +10,000. They're the same as DC United at the bottom of the table. I will say, though, just really quick on one game, because I think there is some good value on this one in particular. The Dynamo are hosting the San Jose Earthquakes. San Jose is +275 to win straight up. I actually am going to put money on San Jose to do the business. The Dynamo are favorites, but the Dynamo, and I love Tab Ramos as a coach, and I think he's great. And Pablo Mastroianni, another one of my teammates, former teammates, is his assistant. I just think San Jose has a better identity of who they are. And there's been a lot of changes with Houston. So if you guys are looking for some pretty good value, maybe a draw is +280, but I like San Jose because they're so unpredictable, but they know who they are. Other teams don't know who they are, but they know who they are. And I'm in that area of the country, and so I'm pretty close to the club now that I'm closer, and I think they're going to be ready for this first one. So if you're looking for some value, that's what I wanted to throw my Quakes love, but I think they're going to surprise some people in this first game. So I'm going to take that +275 to win.
They were my pick for the MLS is back tournament. They did go far. They obviously didn't make it far enough, but it's true. I mean, an Almeida system is always an Almeida system.
It's exciting. It's what you said before. It's either we win 3-0 or lose 3-0.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. But anyway, that was MLS. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that you can go on cbsports.com and read all these interviews on YouTube. You have all the exclusive interviews of every single chat that I had. Obviously, this pod as well, our weekend preview. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we leave North America and we go to Europe. Stay right.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Weekend preview here with Jimmy Conrad. We've talked MLS. We're now going to talk Europe, of course. And let's begin, Jimmy, in the FA Cup. The semifinal stage is here. Some big games, some good games. What do you have for me?
God, Chelsea versus Manchester City is absolutely banging. City have won 6 FA Cups in their history. Chelsea have won 8. This is a great matchup for me. Thomas Tuchel versus Pep Guardiola, both coming off big wins midweek in the Champions League. I don't know. I think this is going to be under. I'm going to go the draw. I actually think it's going to be a draw after 90 minutes and under 2.5 goals. I like that line a lot. I think it's plus 320 on William Hill. If you the favorite line for exact score lines is 1-1 plus 500. I could see a 0-0 here as well, plus 850. I thought there were some things that I saw that Chelsea would do better than Borussia Dortmund, let's say. And I could see Chelsea really locking it down and making it very difficult. I like the under here a lot. I will say Thomas Tuchel has won cup competitions everywhere he's managed. The only trophy he ever won with Borussia Dortmund, the DFB Pokal. The only, well, and then obviously with PSG, they win cup competitions for fun. So he's won every single one of those. And he likes these. And he's the underdog. We've had JJ on the pod before who says that Thomas Tuchel loves one-off competitions where he's the underdog. And I think he's going to have a game plan ready to go to help stifle Manchester City. So I don't think this is one-way traffic here. And obviously Man City is trying to go for the quadruple. This is one of those four trophies. You can never count them out. I don't know how you're feeling about it. Where are you leaning on this? Because you're the prediction god at the moment. So I'm kind of...
I don't know. I think my luck has run out. I don't see... Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see a Man City taking... I mean, Thomas Tuchel is the... You know, the man of the hour right now. And I think like Christian Pulisic is probably thinking back about, you know, when you, if Christian Pulisic had stayed on the pitch last season, I don't think Arsenal would have won the FA Cup. I think he was that good, that influential. So I'm wondering how he's feeling. But I just think this is a much better organized Chelsea. I think they're looking at Man City in the past few weeks and thinking there are cracks here that can be definitely extended. We can take advantage here. I don't think it's going to be, this is going to go into extra time. That's what I think.
I think it'll go into extra time too. And from there, I don't know, but I like the draw on the under 2.5 goals. I could see a 0-0 or 1-1. I just think the Chelsea are going to make it incredibly difficult to be broken down. And they're just better than some of the teams that City have faced recently. That's plus 320. I was right on that. I just wanted to confirm. I might even throw a flyer and use my conduit to the gambling world, Lisa Roman, to put maybe the exact score line of 0-0. After 90 minutes, right? Anything that happens after that, you can go bet on different things.
I think a draw under two. I think, yeah, I like
plus
that.
I like it.
I was going to go with 1-0, but I think
1-0 is plus 500. It's not a bad shout. That's the favorite scoreline on William Hill.
Well, there you go. What's the other game?
So the other one is Leicester City taking on Southampton. Now, fun facts about this: Southampton just lost to West Brom 3-0 on the weekend. It wasn't even close. I mean, West Brom were in complete control, and obviously, probably coming off a ton of confidence, you know, smashing Chelsea 5-2 not too long ago and definitely finding their scoring boots and a system and style of play under Sam Allardyce. It might be too little too late for them to get out of the relegation zone, but you never know. There's still a few games left that could make it tight on Newcastle. I'll leave that out for now. I don't really want to talk about it. Leicester, though, lost 3-2 to West Ham over the weekend last weekend. And, you know, Jamie Vardy's only scored once since Christmas. That's not a good sign. Iheanacho, though, has scored quite a bunch of goals recently, and he's the hot hand. It looks like James Maddison will be back in the team, I think. I'm leaning to Leicester right now, even though I think we're all big Ralf Husenhuttl fans. From what I understand, people love Ralf Husenhuttl as a person. They think he's just a tremendous human being, but it's not really bearing fruit anymore with the team. They're not playing very well. And obviously it's embarrassing to lose to a team in the relegation zone 3-0.
So, well, this is Southampton's season. Like, they have to make it to an FA Cup final to at least make it kind of, you know, we made the FA Cup final, right?
I think whoever loses or wins this one's probably going to lose to Chelsea, Man City, but you never know. So I'll say this, Leicester City are the only team, they set a record. They've been to 4 FA Cup finals and never won. That's the most of any club in English history. So obviously they're going to try to break that duck. And Brendan Rodgers doing a great job with the team so far. Probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. I think he'll be up for manager of the year with David Moyes and probably Pep Guardiola after he wins the league. I will say, though, with fairness to Southampton, they've had 4 FA Cup games. They have yet to give up a goal. So there is something different about them in this competition. I just don't know. Current form does matter. And they looked off the pace against the West Brom team that was much hungrier. I think this Leicester City team can kind of see, if we get to the final, we can hang. Obviously, they beat Man City 5-2 earlier in the season. They can hang with Chelsea as well. They've got the firepower to do it. And if they've got a few weeks to get some other guys healthy, that puts them in a good position to be competitive. I like Leicester City to win. I think it's going to be tight because I think Southampton are going to be very thoughtful in terms of how they attack. And they beat Arsenal 1-0 along the way, the defending champions. They were very pragmatic and smart in that particular matchup, even though they were outgunned. I know, gunned. Do you like that? No, probably not. So Leicester to win in under 2.5 goals is plus 320. I think it's going to be tight. I could see a 1-0 here or a 2-0 in favor of Leicester. I just don't know about Southampton's attacking prowess. It's been a little disappointing as of late. So I'm just going to go with the team that I think is in better form and has healthier players that are playing better at the moment.
Well, I talked to Jamie Vardy this week, so I'm going to root for him to score a goal. But I agree. I think it's a Leicester City win. I don't know, man. I think I might, just because I've seen a few defensive cracks. I know that Leicester City has been doing really well in the cup, but I see a Leicester City win, but maybe a 2-1 in regular time with Leicester City probably going 2 ahead and then Southampton just scraping for a goal. But I definitely see Leicester City winning. I agree with you. I think Southampton has had its run and its limit. And there hasn't been. So I mean, obviously the injuries stuff don't help anything, but they are the kind of team that you feel, okay, you've reached your moment. Early in the season, you look so good. I think the heavy legs got the better out of you. You were limited up front. I think this is it. Obviously you want to make that final because, as I said, it's going to be your only saving grace from this season because you're really not doing anything else. But Leicester City, I think, might just be too much. And Jamie Vardy might find his shooting boots again, but you mentioned Iheanacho, of course, and another player, James Maddison, coming back. So I think Leicester City will take it.
Yeah, I think to give you guys the line for the bet for Luis, both teams to score and Leicester to win, plus 280. I do want to say, and I probably should have brought this up from the very get-go, two Americans could feature prominently, especially in that Chelsea-Man City game. You got Christian Pulisic, who's been playing very well, and I think will start this one. And then you got Zach Steffen. You always put your backup goalkeeper in for the FA Cup. So I'm hopeful that they give Ederson a rest. Sometimes managers do flip-flop and go back to their number one for the biggest games.
Well, yeah, because they have a Wednesday game against Aston Villa as well after the weekend. So
yeah, I'm hopeful that Zach Steffen continues to get the run out throughout the FA Cup. We've seen it before with Emi Martinez with Arsenal. And so I want Zach Steffen to come in and have a good game. And I'm excited to see how that all plays out. And then to your point, Man City just need 3 more wins to win the league. And so that's a big win on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, a big focus in the league. All right, let's do the rest of Europe very quickly. Obviously in Spain, Copa del Rey final as well. And some other games, Bundesliga, etc. What do you have for me?
Yeah, with regard to the Copa del Rey final, it's between Athletic Bilbao and Barcelona. They have played a few times this season, and the first game was 3-2 in favor of Barcelona. The second one was the Spanish Super Cup final, and that was 3-2 in extra time, but 2-2 after 90 minutes. And then most recently, Barcelona beat them 2-1. I think there's going to be a lot of goals in this one. The over 3.5 goals is pretty tantalizing, I'd say, at plus 130. Barca to win and over 2.5 goals, plus 100. I like Messi to score and Barca to win 2-0, 2-1. Or 3-1, that is plus 300. I think Messi's going to show up. These are the two most successful teams in Copa del Rey history. Barcelona have won 30, and Athletic Bilbao have won 23, but they haven't won one since 1984, and they blew it a few weeks ago against Real Sociedad in the 2020 iteration of the Copa del Rey. Kind of sad for Real Sociedad. They're only the holders of that trophy for 2 weeks, but this should be a good one. I expect, given the form of Barcelona, even though they lost El Clasico to end the 19-game unbeaten streak, I think they're going to respond in a positive way. And I just think that this might be a bad time for Athletic to run into them, because I think they're going to be a little pissed that they lost to Real Madrid.
Absolutely. And listen, again, like, they need some silverware. And obviously they're still in the running for La Liga, but they want something, not being in the Champions League, et cetera. All right, what's going on in Germany?
Germany, the big one for me is Wolfsburg versus Bayern Munich. And it's very similar to the narrative around Barcelona. How are they going to respond to not doing well in a big game? 44 shots over two legs against PSG. Couldn't get the job done over those two legs to get through in the Champions League. Lots of speculation around Hansi Flick's future and whether he's even going to stay, which is crazy to me, Luis, that you could be that tremendously successful, the current holder of all six trophies available to a club, and you might not be the right guy anymore. Like, they're that's crazy to me that they could get to that point. And that, I don't know, obviously there's a lot to unpack here, but that it's clear the reason you didn't beat PSG is because of Robert Lewandowski. He just wasn't healthy. And if he was there for any of those 44 shots, we'd be talking about Bayern Munich versus Man City in the semifinals, which is all, I think we all wanted that actually. But now we get the oil money derby instead. This is an interesting game for me in particular. I like the draw. Wolfsburg are undefeated at home. And I just feel like Bayern might be a little wobbly right now until they get their feet going again and then end up winning the Bundesliga, which they're going to do. And Wolfsburg, they lost to them 2-1 earlier in the season at the Allianz Arena, but they outshot Bayern. They had more possession and they were up 1-0. And then Lewandowski scored two goals. That's what he does, right?
So, and they score goals. I mean, they lost 4-3 to Frankfurt, as you mentioned. So, you know, they do score goals.
They score goals. But I like the draw here. I think that Bayern will have some backbone. You know, I think they still want to kind of show up, very similar to Barcelona. So I like the draw plus 275. I think that's a nice value there. And then with regard to the only other ones that I'm looking at in Europe, is in Serie A. It's crazy. I just want to go over the table with everybody really quick, just so you have an update here. Inter are on top with 74 points. Milan have 63 in second. So it looks pretty clear that Inter is going to go on to win it. They travel to Napoli. Okay. But Napoli's in fifth on 59 points. That's a Europa League spot. Lazio have 55. Roma's 54. Roma needs to get back into it against their biggest rivals to get into the Europa League. But I'm looking at Napoli because they're only 2 points behind that fourth spot, the Champions League spot. That's Atalanta. Atalanta are on 61, 1 point behind Juventus, who are on 62. They play each other this week, Juve and Atalanta. So, wow, there's a lot going on. And they obviously, these two play against each other in the Coppa Italia final in a month. I think there's going to be goals in this one, over 3.5 goals plus 140. Atalanta coming off back-to-back 3-2 wins. Juve coming off a 3-1, 2-1, and 2-2 results. I just think CR7's, he's going to do it, right? I don't know what his future holds with Juve moving forward, but him to score and Juve to win, both teams to score, is plus 450. I think that's crazy. But if you're more Atalanta, Luis Muriel and Luis Miguel here knows that we're big fans of Luis Muriel. If you want him to score, and Atalanta to win and both teams to score, it's plus 450. So I guess it depends on where you're leaning, but I could see Juve getting after it and making it happen. It's a great one. I also like Lukaku to score and Inter to win 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 at plus 500. And I say that because their last six games were one of these score lines. And I just think Lukaku is going to be up for it. And they've won 11 straight league games and they're on fire.
Of course, Lukaku is going to score. Absolutely. We love Romelu Lukaku action. And by the way, I can't wait for Serie A to be at CBS Sports next season, by the way. Yeah, I see Atalanta Juventus being a goal fest for sure. And by the way, Juventus, they really, the last time they kept a clean sheet was like over a month ago. So, you know, they're definitely going to concede. That's for damn sure. All right. Well, hey, listen. You can never complain. This was probably our most packed weekend preview. We gave you everything and then some. And it's free, by the way. All you need is a phone for sake. Jimmy Conrad, so good. Always good having you. Any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
No, I've got nothing. I think
you're done.
Probably talked everybody's ear off at this point. And I'm excited for a lot of big games this weekend and obviously the start of MLS.
Absolutely. A tremendous weekend ahead. Jimmy Conrad, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Luis, and appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you, guys.
Hey, everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and every interviewee for joining us today. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We are on YouTube. We are on CBSSports.com. All the articles you can read right there as well. Please, please make sure that you follow us on Qué Golazo Pod on Twitter and drop us a question or a comment. Have a great, great weekend.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.